Blog Talk Radio.
You know, for me, I always just wanted to be heard. I wanted to make quality music. I wanted to make timeless music. Music that was relatable. And it couldn't be put in a box. It didn't matter what genre it was a part of. As long as you felt it, it touched your soul. And that's king music.
Now they wanna hear a country nigga rap. Five albums in a squad. Now a country nigga snap. Thought they wanted trap. Thought they wanted bass. Thought they wanted Miley. Thought they wanted Green. Fuck them niggas. Now they wanna hear a country nigga rap. Five albums in, I swear a country nigga snap. Thought they wanted gold. Thought they wanted shine. Thought they wanted radio. Bitch, make up your mind. All this attention, I don't even know what I might do with it. That control beat is like a ugly bitch that everybody done fuck wrong. Maybe you hit it. Oh man, I'm more concerned why niggas been texting my cell, calling my phone, asking me about this kind of shit. They ain't even really diss me on, I ain't thrown all this propaganda. Rap shit about the realest sound. Now I'm lyrical all of a sudden. Well, last year they claim they ain't understand me, I'm bearing this. And pissing on they graves. Another nigga, other nigga name on your chain, and they call me a slave. Niggas scared of this country ball. But forbid I catch a bite in the studio, trying to calm your soul, looking at your manager. I think Grizz the guy, man, I'll put you in the trunk with these four wounds. Bill Whitley, my shot. A so prolific with these scriptures, they might give me a Bible. Page one, coming, son, mind your manners, just be cool. I know you lame when you was in school, the little fame you ain't used to, and it was easy for you to move through. In a glass with y'all with these swords. Like one of these days, I'ma be a rapper, but all my verses gonna be bored. So I'ma take from all these southern artists that mainstream never heard of. Recycle all of they lingo and make sure I screw my words up. Bravo for your swagger jack, and I'm overwhelmed by your dedication. You act a fool, these people in the thinking that your music was innovative. Frustrated. Ballin never got me out of no public housing. You telling me I can be king of hip hop and they wouldn't give it to Andre 3000? Nigga, please, this war ain't got shit to do with us. God can physically calm down and say he's the greatest. My favorite, y'all should listen. It has potential that I live the heat wave. I'ma send through this motherfucking rebuild for a whole nother other culture. And that wouldn't be enough. So fuck these haters and fuck these hoes. Damn right, I still mean that. Now they wanna hear a country nigga rap. Five albums in, I swear a country nigga snap. Thought they wanted trap. Thought they wanted bass. Thought they wanted Miley. Thought they wanted drink. Fuck them niggas. Now they wanna hear a country nigga rap. Five albums in, I swear a country nigga snap. Thought they wanted gold. Thought they wanted shine. Thought they wanted radio. Too simple. Either way, nigga, I wrote it. Yes, I made the beat. Yes, I made the track. I ain't far from whack. You a one-trick pony. I don't fall in line. I define what's rhyme. Fuck what you was thinking. Bloggers, they could quote it. Lot of rappers buried underneath my house. They know what I'm about. You ain't even know it. Overdose on hocus pocus. Jibber jabber. Snap on my side. That was fucking breathing. Dragon king of every castle. How they signing rappers. All these labels must be giving out a rapper. Regular like cattle. Keeping niggas shackled. Leaving people about to tap dance. Nigga, misleading all of your rap fans. Nigga, find out what to do a lap band. Nigga, sap ass. Nigga, do whatever for some dap fans. Nigga, I ain't got time to watch out for chillin'. Stay out of my kitchen and shit that I'm cooking ain't meant for your kind. Crackling and bashing the shit out your spine. King with a grind, humble and tall. Tyrants never keep quiet, they rather be violent, so I'm beheading them all. The lay of the land, I'm setting fire to build the bridge. You ain't still at a show until you sell out one of me as a city. What's good for hip hop may not be good for my soul, so I keep flexing, wrecking for the people that respect it, check it, back on control.
Are you not entertained?
Bitch! Now they wanna hear a country nigga rap. Bye.
We'll be discussing the topic of elite college athletes and should they be getting paid. We'll also talk about the most elite conference in college football, whether you think it's the Pac-12, whether you think it's the Pac-45, you know, they got all them packs, or the Big Ten and all of that. But y'all already know that it's the SEC. But we'll debate those topics, and we'll also debate, you know what I'm saying, who's the most elite athlete in college football this year. But before we get into that, let's get into a little bit more music. You know what I'm saying? For those of you who are not watching Monday Night Football right now, the Bears versus the New Orleans Saints, or the Saints versus the Bears, is ugly. It's ugly. I mean, it's ugly. If you're like the Bears, you're not gonna want to turn the TV on because right now it's 20-0 and they getting their head bust. Brother Malika, you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay. I didn't know if you couldn't hear me with the headset, so I just put it on the thing. So right. We're gonna get into it. Breaker 19. It's the Jizza. We'll be right back at you on Smash Mouth Sports on Re-Evolution Radio.
This is not a test, it's difficulty. Picture closely, the ignorant mostly. Blind, deaf, dumb, your mind left numb. Lost soul, who failed to hear the roll of the drum. In the bottom of your bomb shelter, still felt the heavy blast that blew off the mass of 12 welders, the mass of an elder. Praise the Lord, thank you, genius. Operation Project English, command the chief of flight staff. Check the aircraft, glide like the frisbee. Digi is Disney, to check form in oneself with real loveliness. You break the mirror that remind you of your ugliness. So when I bust, no one is in touch. Some returning with the mic clutch, like such, who plan but never execute. He had the heat in his hand, but yo, he didn't shoot. Therefore, your mechanism of material better be sickly, or let your lead spread incredibly quickly. I move bravely, traveling on a horse, on a battlefield, surrounded by the loss of those who plotted with the brains of animals. My high molecular structure, the untangible, the name ring a bell. Killable, two syllable. The who was coming through, the outcome is creditable, to be blunt. The beat was cooked up like coke goods. The rhyme first came to me in the oak woods. Up to no good, rap icon. Milk the industry like the Wall Street junk bond. You see the bright stone, I got your height stone. Direct currents that move through the microphone. Key contributor, well-known major factor, prime distributor, the driver of a tractor who run you down if you don't move but wanna linger, 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 linger. The immortality of my fame is the measure of others' torture. Burnt offer from a flaming author. The falconer flies in the birds for the chase. Strictly excelling what is excellence with grace. The significance is not the vulgar applause on entrance, but the feeling at exit, completion of a sentence. With age and experience, my reason ripens. I strike on you Vikings, clash like a hyphen. If you enter the house of fortune by the gate of pleasure, you will leave by sorrow with low measures. Everything fails with the unfortunate. Learned that recording it, so my mind brought in it. Track records ranks us with the exceptional, with string complex physics, high technical. The truth is usually seen and rarely heard. What's more dangerous than hatred is the word. You wild cards, jack of all trades, those who parade their positions, show their spades. A large flock of MCs, they figure to be taught. It ain't hard to see why I'm vigorously sought.
Brother Malik, can you hear me?
Yo, I hear you now.
All right, we good. We are experiencing some technical difficulties. It's the Evolution Radio. We're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it funky. It is what it is. I'm in here watching the game. I got my wings. You know what I'm saying? It's a sports show. What you want me to do? I'm sorry. Like I said, for you Bears fans, the Bears are getting that head bust to the New Orleans Saints. And the score, I believe, is 21-0. And I think Drew Brees is thrown for two touchdowns, one to Marcus Colston. And Colston and Drew Brees just tied the record that was once held by Reggie Wayne and Peyton Manning. So big up to Marcus Colston out of Hofstra, you know what I'm saying, one of those late-round draft gems of the New Orleans Saints. So let's get into it, man. Let's get into it. The discussion tonight is elite college athletes. So I'm going to come straight off the top, man. Who's the number one elite athlete coming out of college this year?
This year, I'm going to be honest with you, man. A lot of people feel like it's that boy that won at Heisman, Marcus Mariota. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't. And the reason I don't is I don't think Mariota's going to have the same success. And that so-called fast-paced offense of Oregon, I think it's going to be Amari Cooper, man. I think Amari Cooper's going to have the same success here in the NFL. I think he's a complete wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He has enough physical size. He has the quickness. And he has the strength to break away from tackles. I think he's going to be what's next in the NFL.
Okay. Amari Cooper, I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that. I got a few guys on my list. But I want to talk about Marcus Mariota for a second. You know what I'm saying? I would think that the media and the fans that are easily subjected to the media's bias and opinions would have learned from yesterday's tragedy. And what was yesterday's tragedy? The debut of Johnny Money Manziel also ended up being the funeral of Johnny Money Manziel. Cleveland, you love whining about everything that has ever happened. We always have to hear about the fumble, the catch, you know what I'm saying, the decision, the move. Well, now you can talk about the debut. The debut of Johnny Money Manziel. Now, when he came out of college, I said, yo, this guy is going to be the biggest bust that has come in the NFL since Tim Tebow. I said it.
You know what made me feel that way?
Go ahead.
Those LSU games, man. Those LSU games. You and I watched a couple of them when Texas A&M used to play LSU, and they used to own him. And I used to say, why are these guys owning him? But he's struggling against big-name teams like, you know what I'm saying, Alabama or one of those gangs, you know what I'm saying? And I realize LSU has something the NFL has. It's speed on that defense. It's not a bunch of big, slow linemen. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bunch of big, slow linebackers. There's some guys with some speed that can get to you. You're not going to run all over them. And sure enough, he didn't run all over anybody on that Bengals side either. He got his ass whooped all day long.
Yeah.
On the money sign.
And for you, Johnny Money Manziel fan, if you got to hang your hat on anything, hang your hat on this. If ever there was a team that you didn't want to debut against, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Because the Cincinnati Bengals are the most up and down team in the NFL. When they play certain teams, they just cannot get a win. But once you go them into a big debut, that defense always shows up to stop one person. If you give Marvin Lewis a week to prepare for one, you know what I'm saying, for one player, he's going to shut you down every time. Julio Jones, he was coming in on a torrid pace, coming off his foot surgery last year. First game against the Saints this year, I think he put up like $1.27 on their face loads, you know what I'm saying? Next week they played the Cincinnati Bengals. He had 89 yards and a touchdown, but he wasn't nearly as effective. Trent Richardson, his debut against them in Cincinnati, they shut him down. Once I knew the comments that Marvin Lewis said about you don't have to really guard a midget, you don't have to prepare for a midget, you got to prepare for the entire offense, I knew that they were going to get in that ass. And when I turned on the TV, they were getting that ass, man. I'm talking about the boy that was in the SEC looking like he ran a 4.4, like he ran a 4.8 yesterday. I'm talking about you had nose tackles hawking him down. And every time they would hit him, they was throwing up the money sign, man. It's all about the business, baby. This is the big boy league, man. So I say that to say this, after his terrible stats, I remember having like 82 yards and 2 interceptions and no touchdowns. That's got to be a passer rating of like negative something. I don't know if anyone's ever had a negative passing rating, but I'm sure if they have, he's the first one to do it. And I got to put something else on you guys' mind. If Cam Newton would have debuted his rookie season with a stat line like that, would he still be the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers to this day?
Oh, no, not at all. Period.
You say not at all?
Not at all. He wouldn't be the league anymore. Let's just be real.
No chance. No chance in hell. He would have no chance in hell. But I brought up Johnny Money. No, let's change that. Johnny Peso Manziel. So we could sit back and be more objective with this Mariota. I see a lot of similarities. I see a system player. I see a player that does not show up in the big moment. I see a player that benefits from being in a spread offense that's high flying, that spreads you out in college football, where you don't have elite athletes in every position. And I see a player that also benefits from playing in a weak conference. Yes, the Pac-12 is weak as hell. And if anybody on the West Coast wants to get upset about it, 347-855-8862, 347-55-8862, because I'm going to put that SEC up against you. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So just,
you know what's sad about this kid, Mariota, man?
What's
you know, so I'm looking at some stats right now, man. You know what's sad about that kid, Mariota, man? It's a
what's
kid
that?
From William & Mary named Brandon Doughty. Has more yards than Marcus Mariota. It's a kid from East Carolina named Shan Carter that has more yards than Marcus Mariota. It's this guy's want to talk about where we're just destroying the Pac-12 and talking shit about the Pac-12. It's a guy from Cal named Jared Goff that has more yards than Marcus Mariota this year. Listen, man, this guy is hype. He's what people wanted as a Heisman Trophy winner. He has good character. You know what I'm saying? The guy, he does play extremely tough, but the fact of the matter is he's not what everybody thinks he is.
I agree, and I'm going to be honest. I am talking about the Pac-12. You guys suck. I think you're trash. I think everyone in your conference, with the exception of USC, is trash. USC actually puts athletes on the field that I say, okay, those are NFL athletes. They just don't have a lot of discipline in their program. Arizona, sorry, I know there's a lot of people listening to the show that are in Arizona, but you're trash. I mean, you have an outstanding basketball team. But when it comes to football, I can't take you seriously right now. Arizona State, you made leaps and bounds this year. Once again, you're in the Pac-12. You got to start scheduling some guys at the beginning of the season outside of the Pac-12. Because if you're expecting me to take your Pac-12 record series, it's a joke. Washington State is a joke. And Washington State pushed Oregon to the brink.
Yeah.
Oregon is the best team in that conference, and Washington State pushed those guys to the brink. I can't take them seriously. But, you know, as far as the comment goes and the conversation of elite athletes go, it's a few names I can think of. This is all pure athleticism. It's the guy Melvin Gordon at Nebraska. He's a hell of an athlete. He's a hell of an athlete to me. To me, I agree with Chris Carter. Me and him don't agree on a lot of things. But, you know what I'm saying, he is the fastest running back I've ever seen at this time. He's the fastest running back. He has the most elusiveness. So maybe he won't fall into the curse of the Nebraska running back. I mean, Wisconsin running back that is his fifth and benefits off a big offensive line. I also like Amir Abdullah. Shout out to Amir Abdullah. Peace to the brothers. Amir Abdullah, what he was able to do at Nebraska with the shaky system and a quarterback that's shaky and not known for passing the ball, always facing nine defenders in the box, sometimes 10 defenders in the box. He was able to put up some magnificent numbers before he hurt his knee later on in the season. Amari Cooper. I think I'm going to have to go with Amari Cooper overall. I've never seen a receiver dominate the SEC the way Amari Cooper has dominated the SEC.
Yeah.
And for you Auburn fans that are on the phone, that's a bit rude. I'm not going to say that. But I'll just say, I won't tell you to kill yourself, because that's rude. But go watch the Iron Bowl 40 times tonight. How about that? That's how I welcome you to the show. Go watch the Iron Bowl 40 times tonight, and you'll see the greatness that is Amari Cooper. And they didn't have to pay him $500,000, you know what I'm saying, like you all have to do. Amari Cooper wanted to come to Alabama. But
no
Bo
Jackson.
No Bo Jackson, no Cam Newton, no Bagman. Shout out to Cam, you know what I'm saying, one of the first athletes to get big-time dollars before you even signed in the NFL without getting caught. Respect, Wilbur, and I hope you get better from your accident. But as far as route running, as far as getting off the jam, as far as acceleration, as far as IQ, as far as start and stop ability, as far as high-pointing the ball, I have never seen a receiver dominate the SEC the way he dominates the SEC. Well, the way he dominated that. Does that mean Alabama's going to win the national championship? Who the hell knows? I'm not saying that. But at the same time, just going off of what we have seen on the field, to me, he's the most polished and the most NFL-ready receiver in the draft. With that being said, for my fans that are listening in Ohio, tell me if this name rings a bell. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say the name. This receiver rings a bell. He played for a college called Florida State. He broke all kind of records. He was all world at Florida State. He went to the Cincinnati Bengals, and he did nothing. Malik, do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of this kid's name. I know he ended up in the Canadian League for a while, and he was a bust there,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You know exactly what I'm talking
about. What is that guy's name, man? Oh, God. I always got him in that running back confused.
Don't say it. Don't say it. We'll get it when we come back from the break. But I brought him up to say this. Amari Cooper may be one of those college athletes, just like Johnny Manziel, who dominates in college. But when it's time to lace him up on Sunday, he's just another average receiver. Got to go to the Marlies right now. Got to go to the Marlies. Big up to the Marlies right now. Damian Marley, the Money Marley, of course, the legendary Bob Marley. This is Kimani Marley's brand new joint. Came out a few months ago. It's hot, fire, muy caliente. So big up the bad man, Kimani Marley. Get hot.
One big bag of girl, me a wife and baka. Two bag of weed, some papers and grab a make we get high. One build a split bonnet and push it into the sky. We get high. We get high. We get high, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So come follow me. Cause I make the girl them a free. No boy a talk but that no worry we. Let them know that we no stall out. And the shots of them they all bout. Give me some peace of me and I'm a sense. And you know me bunny plenty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me bunny plenty, yeah, yeah. One big batty girl me a wife and baka. Two bags of weed, some papers and rubber, make we get high. One big split money and push it into the sky. We get high. We get high. We get high, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So come follow me. Cause we up on the best trees. And we know that Jah a bless we. So no matter how them fight it, anywhere with them we light it. Give me the beat of me under my senses. And the girl them they are plenty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Them they are plenty, yeah, yeah. One big batty girl me a wine from back. Two back
con some beer buns and grab a met with get high. One bring your slip on the and push it to the sky. We get high. We get high. We get high, yeah, yeah. Yeah, nobody tryna leave until we die, yeah, 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 yeah. We're not gonna live here tonight. So all I drink and I sleep on the gas side till the sunrise, yeah, 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 yeah. Until the sunrise, we get high. One big bottle tell me a wine from Baca. Two Baca with some papers and grab a map we get high. One big split one of them push it in the sky we get high.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I say the good Lord made me what I am and I plead his name for keys. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. There's sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Best believe the Quran influenced all of my songs. My fans running tattoo them all on their arms. Wanna travel, be there every time I perform. Now look me in the eye and tell me how am I wrong. And who would've thought, just giving them the truth from my heart. Both the ugly and the beautiful part. We give them food for thought, let them chew it apart. And they'd all crowd around me and my movement would start. And how you gon' hate me for being what God made me? It's not a game, I ain't saying it playfully. They relate to the joy and the pain in me. And seeing me make it be, watching the slaves get free. Holler like Bilal in the tower. Hiya Ali, Bilal, Allah is the power. Give a voice to the dream and let it be seen. How could it's obscene, but Dean recognized Dean. So what is it pristine when I spit a 16? Clean words don't describe the shit that I've seen. But laying in the alley, I whisper the Shahada. Bullets fly by from the drive-by. So Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber working out on the linoleum. Chappelle bus bunnies, most death bus rhymes. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keys. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. There's sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Some spiritual happen when them hands get to clapping. Can you tell me what language do you laugh in? The human reaction of smiles and cries. What language are the tears when they're falling from your eyes? You've probably seen the sun rise hundreds of times. But let a painter paint it or a poet describe the very moment where heaven and earth might collide. And God let the breath of life come outside. Satan doubted it, angels bowed to it. I'm so beautifully human that I'm proud of it. Soul of a soldier, heart of a scholar. I wrote this poem with the blood of a martyr. Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber work it out on the linoleum. Chappelle bus runnies, most deaf bus rhymes. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keys. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. There's sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself. I say the good Lord
made me what I am. Brother Ali, the good Lord, and Kimani Molly, get out. Suga Jones, good music, good music, all Smash Mouth Sports on Re-Evolution Radio. Malik, I remember that name.
Yeah, man.
And you know who it was? The receiver?
Who that?
Peter Friskin Ward.
Yeah. That's
Peter Friskin Ward. He came out of Florida State.
Championship for Michael Vick. I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Got to the national championship for Michael Vick. That's him.
Yep. I mean, and the guy was like, he got in the league and was just a disgusting bust. I mean, he was a disgusting bust. Awful. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to Amari Cooper. I hope not. But I'm just saying it could be a similar situation. Look at the measurables. They're a lot alike. Amari Cooper is college height, 6'1". You know, when you go to the NFL combine, they can end up being 5'11". You know? His weight, 195. Amari Cooper is about 210. You get to the combine, it'll be 405. It's scary, man. It's scary, 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 man. I mean, I hope not, but it could be that. When he left Florida State, he led Florida State with 32 touchdown receptions. That's good. That was the most in FSU history. 207 career receptions, 937 career return yards. He averaged 127.3 all-purpose yards as a senior. So that would lead you to believe that he had elite speed, you know. And then the Bengals happened. I mean, his career high with the Bengals was 79 passes, caught 119 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's nine. That's nine. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that doesn't happen to Amari Cooper. Do you see that happening to him?
I can't say that because I look at him kind of like a Michael Crabtree type of player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I kind of see that, you know what I'm saying, though, his skill set may be a little bit better than what Peter Warwick had. And then Peter Warwick, let's just be honest, man, that guy was he was all hype. He had some athletic ability. But when it came to really learning the playbook, learning, you know what I'm saying, you know, how to get open, you know what I'm saying, all of those things, he just didn't have any of that. And that's why he was just absolutely awful when he got to the NFL. I mean, that guy was pretty terrible.
The thing about it, you never can tell. When a guy doesn't have what they call the height, weight, and speed measurable, you never really know. Wow, and I'm watching Monday Night Football, and this referee got laid out. That's pretty incredible. And the way he got laid out was even more incredible. I mean, it was like, wow, no effort fell. But anyway, yeah, he doesn't really have the height, weight, speed measurable, so I can't put him in a class of a Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, or Julio Jones because he's not 6'3". He says he's going to run a 4.31 at the combine, but others have said that before. When it's time to run at the combine, they never run, and they go to their pro day and run some fluke number like Joe Hayden, so you really can't take him seriously. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but he falls into the list of my top athlete in college football this year. Of course, last year would have been simple for me. That would have been Jadeveon Clowney, and it wasn't even close, but that just goes to show, even though you're the best athlete in the world, it doesn't make you the best football player in the world. And I think it's even more smack in the face for Jadeveon Clowney right now. I don't know if he's going to end up being bust or not, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen with him, but he's on the team with the most dominant force in the NFL right now, which is J.J. Watt. So it's got to pain you to be more athletic than a guy would ever dream of being. Well, that guy is probably a better football player than you'll ever be. I mean, that says a lot. And I love guys like J.J. Watt. I love him. The work ethic, it just shows you can work hard, come from the bottom, and still make an impact and a big impact and have a what looks to be a Hall of Fame career. Now, I want to get into some numbers because we're talking about elite college athletes. I'm going to get to the meat and potatoes of this discussion. Yes, we all watch college football. Yes, we all know who's in the college football playoffs, which I believe is a joke, which is, you know, the University of Alabama, they're the number one seed. Number two, Oregon. We just talked about the Pac-12 and their horrendous schedule. Number three, Florida State. And number four, Ohio State. That's the college football playoffs. But I want to talk about another ranking. Another top 15. And it has to do with elite college athletes. This is the amount of money that these universities pull in per year through their football program. Be prepared to hear some whopping numbers, and then I'm going to follow it up and shame the system. Number 15, University of Washington, $52.9 million.
Ooh.
UW, who hasn't won anything or done anything on a national scale, makes $52.9 million per year off their college football team.
That's ridiculous.
The University of Tennessee, I think they've lost like eight straight to Alabama. They still pull in at number 14, $53 million off of their football pool. God bless me. Nebraska, number 13, $55.5 million. Nebraska, when is the last time Nebraska won a national championship? When they had the black shirt? In the 90s, when they ended the Miami Dynasty? I mean, give me a break, $55.5 million. Listen to these numbers, and I'm going to sum it up at the end. Ohio State, you get a Buckeye. $58.2 million. But you get a Buckeye. If you're a player, you don't get any money, but you get a Buckeye. Oklahoma, number 11. $59.6 million for Bob Big Game Loser Stoops. The man hasn't won a national championship since the national championship won him, which is never. And that university is bringing $59.6 million in yearly off their football program. The University of Arkansas, Arkansas, $63.9 million. They just won an SEC game, not an SEC championship. They got their first SEC win in 2 years, 3 weeks ago. The season just ended last week, people. The regular season just ended. That's terrible. But they still bring in $63.9 million. Penn State, rapist university, that is Penn State. Pedophilia University of Penn State. $66.1 million.
Child molesters
For child molesters are. You know how many people you can feed with $66.1 million? How much could go towards ending poverty? LSU, the Mad Hatter, the man that eats grass, $68.4 million, which is rather low. For LSU, I thought LSU would be in the top five. Oh, everyone's favorite school, Rudy Rudiger. Notre Dame, $68.9 million a year. I've not won a championship since the guy that played Rudy was in his team. That's how terrible it is. $68.9 million. Gators, the Florida Gators. $74.6 million a year. I don't have as big as a gripe against the Gators because the Gators actually win. But they're still wrong. When I sum it up at the end, you'll see how wrong they are. University of Georgia, man, haven't won anything since Herschel. $75.2 million. Mark Richt is in charge of a football team that brings in $75.2 million worth of revenue. He can't manage a team. How the hell is he ever able to manage a program that's bringing in that much money? And I know it's the job of the athletic director, but this is the guy you give the keys to a $75.2 million business? Come on, man. University of Auburn. Now, you know they got money. We just told y'all that they pay every black quarterback that comes to their school $500,000 for Cam Newton, it's nothing. They're blowing money fast. $77.4 million. They didn't even feel that money. That money they gave to Cam, they didn't even feel that money. The University of Alabama. I love Alabama. Roll damn tide. But it's dead wrong, man. $81.9 million. And that just shows me how hungry Auburn is for success. they're always right behind Alabama. You notice that? They're like that irritating little brother that your mom makes you bring to the store that you never want to bring to the store. They just follow you around with the snot hanging out their nose. That's Auburn to Alabama. Michigan, $85 million, University of Michigan. What was their record this year, like 4-9 or something?
Pretty awful, god-awful.
They were god-awful. The University of Texas is number one with $104.5 million a year. Now, I know I went through a lot of numbers, and I hope you bear with me through those numbers. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Of all those millions and millions of dollars that we just talked about, how much do these college elite athletes get paid out of that money that's being made? Just those
zero.
Zero. Not a goddamn thing. That's a blood clot team. You hear me? Them boy them don't make not a blood clot team. Built nothing. And I remember the narrative before the combine last year was that Jadeveon Clowney was a selfish player and he was letting his team down because he didn't want to play hard during the regular season. Ever since the man has been in the NFL, he's been dealing with nagging injuries that he got from the SEC. With the collective bargaining agreement that was signed 3 years ago, top draft picks do not make the money that they used to make, which I find ironic now that most of the quarterbacks that are being drafted are elite mobile black quarterbacks. But now they want to cap how much they're making when they come out of the draft. So Jadeveon Clowney, he never really got a max contract. He just went into microfact fracture surgery last week. This man may never get another contract in the NFL. So he lost his body. He put his body on the line in college and made nothing. But the University of South Carolina, let me see if I can find these guys on the list. Because I got to know how much they're pulling in for them to throw the guy under the bus like they threw him under the bus. The coaching staff threw him under the bus. The media threw him under the bus. Everyone threw him under the bus. The social media, the Twitter sphere threw him under the bus. South Carolina. When did South Carolina get money? They make $48.2 million a year. And the Jadeveon Clowney's career is potentially over. It's potentially done with. And he got none of that money. And we're supposed to believe that's fair. What do you think about that, Malik?
I think it's very unfair. And, I mean, it's getting to the point of where I think if these coaches really give a damn about these athletes, they're going to have to start speaking out about it. And the reason I say that is because of this. Auburn just paid a defensive coordinator, not a head coach, a defensive coordinator, $1.6 million to come to their program. And those kids are still getting nothing. They got a kid on that team that was trying to go get himself better and go study under a quarterback guru who has helped out many guys. They told this guy no. And a lot of people are saying because of financial reasons.
Uh-huh.
But the fact of the matter is, if you have $1.6 million to give to a defensive coordinator, why don't you have enough money to let these kids go train who they want to train with?
I mean, dude, and not just any defensive coordinator. Musty man.
Yeah, Will Muschamp.
From the University of Florida, who just got his teeth kicked in by everyone, got that much money. But these college athletes who tear their ACLs, who have all of these strains on their body, who deal with post-traumatic stress from playing football all those years, dealing with all these concussions, dealing with all these concussions, dealing with all these problems. They get paid nothing. And I got to look at a guy like Kirk Herbstreit on college football game day, try to sit up here and sell me on the idea, well, those guys shouldn't complain because they're getting scholarship money. They're getting an education. Okay, well, the university shouldn't make any money because they're getting entertainment from athletes that do the things that they couldn't even dream of doing. But the university still makes money, right? Right?
That's true.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to get into more of these topics. You know what I'm saying? We're going to stick with this topic because this is a hot topic. We're going to stick with this topic after we come back from commercial break. Score update. The Bears, 8. The New Orleans Saints, 24. Looks like they're trying to find a comeback. That garbage guy that we were talking about last week that we got comments about being racist and all that, Jay Cutler, he's still terrible.
Bomb.
Blast.
Absolute
he's
bomb.
Still awful. Loaded Luck, Santino on Revolution Radio. Smash Mouth Sport. Let's get into it. Revolution Radio.
Eat me, no homo, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh!
I'm the shit, toilet bowl, toilet tissue, money roll.
Santino, we got another one.
Bring him in.
Yeah.
balding nigga.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
The show goes on. Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shutdown made me, that's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Don't even put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban, let them never slow my plan up. There. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't wanna be there. None for the niggas trying to hold them back. Five in the air for the teachers not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the niggas holding back, that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys. I'm rapping around the world for Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour, Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. Say hip hop only destroy. Tell them look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy. No matter what you into, no matter what you see, when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down. You just lift your arms higher, raise them till your arms tired. Let them know you there, that you struggling, surviving, that you gon' persevere. Yeah, ain't nobody leaving, nobody going home. Even if they turn the lights down, the show is going on.
Go on, it's gotta go on. Only on Re-Evolution Radio, Re-Evolution Radio, Smash Mouth Sports. Score update: New Orleans Saints 24, Chicago Bears 8. I mean, it's just officially a mollywop, man. Look, unless the next coach is smoking crack. Unless the next coach is smoking crack, this is the last we have seen of Jay Cutler in a Bears uniform. I mean, it's just unacceptable.
I would love to say that. I would love to say that, and I love him. But I can see that guy being there next year.
You think they're going to keep Jay Cutler next year?
I could see it.
Oh, my. That's That'll be a kick in the head, man. That'll be a kick in the head. It's a guy I was looking at on your Facebook timeline, a particular athlete. I was interested in him. What's his name?
I actually want to give a shout-out to Marquise Haynes. I remember this kid when he was younger, man. He was a hell of an athlete then. Father really raised him right, man. Shout out to his father. Just an amazing all-around human being. He got SEC Freshman of the Year. I was very proud and happy to see that. Let me read you some of these stats to you. 16 solo tackles, 13 assisted, 29 overall. Tackles for loss, 8.5, 74 yards. That's 74 yards you don't have because this guy hit 7.5 sacks, 72 yard sacks. That's 72 more yards that he's taken away from somebody else. Two broken passes, seven hurries, three forced fumbles, and he was the SEC Freshman of the Year. 6'3", 220 pounds, and he's from right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm very, very, very proud of that young man. I hope he continues to do what he needs to do, and he'll be all right. He's going to be all right, man. I can see him going pro one day. I really could. Got a hell of a work ethic.
Quick question. What school did he go to?
He goes to Ole Miss.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ole Miss. Man. Ole Miss. Big up to Marcus Haynes, man. Ole Miss is coming, man. They're on their way, man. It's not old school Ole Miss. His team really has a chance to do some special things. This is what I don't understand about the New Orleans Saints. They're up 24-8, fourth and two, back up against their own end zone, and they throw the ball. And you have Mark Ingram in the background. I don't understand that. I mean, you have Mark Ingram.
Tina, know how to
background.
Use a running back, man. I've said it for years. Look at the guys that have been back there in that backfield as running backs. They don't know how to use a running back whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I really wish they would just let Mark Ingram go so he can pull a Reggie Bush, go somewhere else, and have great numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that team has no idea how to use a running back.
At all, it seems. I got a question. This question came up on Facebook. Who's the number one running back in college football this year?
By default, I'm going to have to say Melvin Gordon.
Oh, man. You have to do me like that, bro.
This is why I say by default. There's a guy that plays for Alabama, T.J. Yeldon, who I feel like could be a superior back. But something you alluded to earlier, the pounding that SEC players take by playing in that tough-ass division. They usually don't have good careers. They just don't. They don't last long. I mean, look at guys like Bo Jackson. Look at guys like Herschel Walker. You know what I'm saying? Had all those amazing college numbers. Didn't last that long for Dallas. I mean, the SEC is just brutal, man. It's brutal. Year in and year out, man, they destroy each other. It's always physical football. You know what I'm saying? It's usually the guys that play up front, the running backs. You know what I'm saying? Those are the guys that take the pound in the SEC.
The curious case of Trent Richardson comes to mind when you talk about that. I remember when Trent Richardson came out of Alabama, he was supposed to be like the second coming of not Adrian Peterson, but a couple of notches below Adrian Peterson. And since this guy's gotten to the NFL, he's always averaged under 3.6 yards a carry. I mean, I think it's just like you say, the SEC just wears those guys down, but it just lets you know that the SEC is the best conference in college football, bar none. But back to the conversation, I want to hear your thoughts and your opinions once again on these insane numbers. And what do you think is the reason why they really don't want to pay these college athletes?
You want my honest opinion? I look at a lot of the SEC teams seem to be in that top 10 as far as, like, colleges that made a lot of money. You got to understand, man, when you're dealing with these old colleges from the South like that, these guys look at these athletes, these black athletes, as pretty much field hands. And is looking at them as a field hand. I mean, they don't feel like they owe them anything. You should be honored just to step on their field. You should be honored just to put on the uniform. You should be honored just, you know what I'm saying, be mentioned in the same breath as other people or other athletes that came before you. And I think they sell that in recruiting. And when you sell something like that in recruiting, you have to understand that guys who, I hate to say it, are a bit smarter. And a lot of people say, you know what I'm saying, well, they just don't want to go to those certain schools because of they fear the competition. And I don't think it's more of the fear of the competition. I think they fear of life after football coming a little too early.
Yeah.
They fear their chances, you know what I'm saying, of not being able to feed their families and being that financial asset they always hoped and wanted to be. You know, and that's why a lot of guys, like, I don't know if you've seen this trend now, a lot of guys from Florida are not going to SEC schools. They're going to places like USC and ACC schools and schools and things like that, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy from Miami that ended up in Marshall had a hell of an arm, as quick as hell, but he went to Marshall because he's not going to get himself killed playing at SEC. So, I mean, you have to understand that's how they look at us. And unless we demand more, demand better, athletes demand better, they're going to keep getting the same thing.
I mean, that's got to be it. It's got to be it. It's got to be the whole – because that's what college football sells people on. It doesn't sell me on it, but it sells other people on. They love talking about the pageantry. When Clemson walks out, they touch the rock. When Florida comes out, they touch the Gatorade. I don't care about your Gatorade. I don't care about your rock. I want to know how many national championships you got, how many wins you're going to get this season, and how many athletes you're going to help get to the NFL, how many student athletes you're going to help graduate. That's what I want to know about. But I don't care about your pageantry or your tradition, and that's all they sell you on. And I feel like they sell us on that so that we believe in this thing, they should be honored to wear a University of Alabama jersey. Who cares? I'm not getting any money for wearing that jersey. But everyone that you signed on to buy my jersey, they make money and you make money. So I think it's a disgusting thing. It's a disgusting thing. Quick score update from week 15 in the NFL. Let's go ahead and get the rundown, man. Let's see if we can do this like we did last week. Starting from the top. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons. God, I saw this game. Why did I do it to myself? Once they said Julio Jones was out of the game, I should have just said, you know what? Oh, my God, Jay Cutler, you're awful. You couldn't hit a duck in a kiddie's pool. I mean, you're god awful. This guy just missed a wide open receiver running down the sideline. It's Jay Cutler for you. Anyway, okay, so I saw this game against the Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And once I found out that Julio Jones was not going to be playing, I should have just turned the TV. But really my only other option at the time was to watch Johnny Peso Manziel play against the Cincinnati Bengals. That was hideous. So I ended up watching the Falcons because I hear a lot from a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans in Atlanta that Julio Jones stays hurt too much, and really Matt Ryan is the most important player on the team. He's the best player on the team, and he's clutch. He's Matty Ice. He's the guy that's going to get the Falcons to the next level. He's the most talented player on the team. So I said, okay, well, Julio Jones is out, and Matt Ryan isn't, so Matt Ryan should be able to get you this victory. Of course not. Matt Ryan threw another horrific interception and went for a pick six, and the Falcons fell to the Steelers 27-20. Big Ben Vukovic had 27-35, 360 yards and no touchdowns. Antonio Brown, 10 receptions, 123 yards, no touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, 20 rushes, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 37, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns. Who cares? They got their head busted. Another interesting game that I saw the other day, Redskins versus the Giants.
Oh, absolute theft.
So, what's the guy's name? Jay Groove, not John Groove. Jay Groove has been on this thing with RG3 where he's basically saying, I'm the big dog in this house. You don't run anything. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Well, yesterday his lesson backfired. And not only did it backfire when Colt McCoy got hurt, Robert Griffith came in the game and actually looked pretty good yesterday. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it did.
You said absolute theft. What happened in that game that makes you say absolute theft?
The situation, man, with Santana Moss catches the touchdown. They say he doesn't have possession. And when he goes to argue with the ref, I've seen guys argue with refs all the time. They're told to sit down, calm down, yada, yada, yada. But what you do is you take away his main weapon and kick him absolutely out of the fucking game. If I was Santana Moss, I think I would have went nutty. I would have pulled a what's the guy's name played for Dallas?
Freewell.
Yeah, I would have pulled a Freewell. I mean, if you're going to kick the game anyway, just choke the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it was an
absolute theft. It was a game set up for RG3 to lose, not to win. It's a pretty damn sad situation because Colt McCoy looked like an absolute mess out there. So, I mean, you got what you got, man, at RG3. You may not like his character. You may not like some of the tactics he pulls, man. You may feel like he's a bit soft and he needs to toughen up if he's going to be a leader on that team. You may feel all things. But the fact of the matter is that he played a hell of a game. He almost brought these guys back. But, you know, you can only bring somebody back, you know what I'm saying, oh, man, that you're going to let, you know what I'm saying, or actually play a decent game. And, I mean, they got fucked over, man. They got fucked over.
I'm looking right now at RG3 stats, and he was 18 of 27 for 236 yards and one touchdown. That's pretty damn good. Eli Manning went idiot savant Eli yesterday, which is, you know, the Rain Man. 23 for 34, 250 yards, three touchdowns. Three of those who went to ODB and UOB, Odell Beckham Jr., 12 receptions, 143 yards, three touchdowns, rumble, young man, rumble. Wow, rumble. Those are pretty goddamn good numbers for a rookie. The guy's on fire right now. He's on his way to becoming one of the best receivers in the league. Thursday night, they had the Cardinals versus the Rams. Who the hell wanted to see it? I mean, it was an awful game. It was boring as hell. No quarterback play. I mean, it was awful. I mean, I'd rather sit there and watch paint dry than, you know what I'm saying, watch the Cardinals versus the Rams on Thursday Night Football. It was awful. And I'm going to say this. For Thursday Night Football to be getting this big primetime debut that they got this year on CBS, it has been an abject failure. A lot of the games have been blowouts.
Yeah.
A lot of the games have been too far apart for it to be a real game, with the exception of the Jets and the Patriots. I mean, this season has been an abject failure for Thursday Night Football. And you cap it off with a game of Cardinals versus Rams, nameless quarterbacks that no one knows, Sean Hill and Drew Stanton, two journeyman quarterbacks, and a baseball score of 12-6. That tells you everything you need to know about that game. No, I'm not going to read any stats because the stats are god-awful. They are god-awful. Moving forward, the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots, 41. The Miami Dolphins, 13.
Before you go into that, I got to say something. If you're a Miami fan, you got to say, why the fuck do we still have a team? Those guys are never going to get it together, man.
I mean, they steal your heart every year. They steal their hearts every year. They start off the season. They started off all excited. They started off something like 5-2. And Tannehill has turned the corner. And the next thing you know, they hit that wall called Bill Belichick. Every year they hit that wall called Bill Belichick, and they get their head kicked in, and they fall back to obscurity. So yesterday was no different. 41-13. Let's read Tom Brady's numbers because I'm sure they're a thing of beauty. 21 for 35, 287 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rob the Gronk Gronkowski, 3 receptions. When a tight end is putting up 3 receptions for 96 yards and a touchdown on your face, he's averaging around 40-something yards per catch or 30-something yards per catch. A tight end is doing you like this? Let's move on to the Raiders and the Chiefs. And, of course, the New England Patriots wrapped up their AFC East division once again. They own the AFC East.
For like the 100th year.
I mean, they own it, especially with the decline of Rex Ryan. It's over. There's no one to stand in their way. Raiders versus Chiefs, another one of those who wants to see them games. 31-13, Chiefs come through. Alex Smith, 18-30, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns. Those numbers are very misleading. Derek Carr for the Oakland Raiders, 27-56. That's horrible. 222 yards and 1 touchdown.
He's still in the league.
With a record of 2-12. Let me tell you why, you know what I'm saying, the Kansas City Chiefs' Alex Smith is deceiving. This is my gripe with Alex Smith. A lot of the receivers on his team are very disgruntled from multiple sources. Multiple sports sources say that a lot of his receivers on his team were disgruntled because Alex Smith has never been able to distribute the ball outside to the receivers. He likes to check down a lot, and he likes to go to the tight end up the hash mark.
Yep.
If you look at his numbers, it's very deceiving. 297 yards and 2 touchdowns. But he has a reception to Niles Davis, who was a hell of a running back coming out of Arkansas, but he had a lot of fumbling issues, so he fell in the draft. I think he went undrafted to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he ended up sticking on the team because he's out of the talent. He had 1 reception for 70 yards. The running back has the most receiving yards on the team. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about Alex Smith? He's a joke. Moving on. The Texans versus the Colts. J.J. Watts. Yes, sir, J.J. Watts. 17-10. Andrew Luck gets the best of J.J. Watt. And Alshon Jeffrey just scored a pointless touchdown for the Chicago Bears. I don't even know why they scored that. That was horrible. But, it was 17-10. Andrew Luck had 18 for 34, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tom Savage, 10 for 19, another hope that they had for the Texans, 127 yards. Really didn't do anything, was ineffective. The offense couldn't move the ball up and down the field. Typical Texans football without a quarterback. The Jaguars.
Let's get on.
The Jacksonville Jaguars played a hell of a game yesterday. They gave the Baltimore Ravens everything they wanted. They ended up losing 20-12, but it was a hell of a game. Blake Bortles played a decent game. Tyson Schwartz actually showed up for the first time in a long time. But at the end of the day, the Baltimore Ravens defense forced a critical turnover, and that ended up being the difference in the game.
I got to say something else about the game.
Oh, go ahead.
I got to listen. My Jaguar fans, my tested time and time again, Jaguars fans, if you do not ask your owners to go get receivers that are over 5 feet tall, having Blake Bortles will not matter. Everything on your team is 5'3" and under. It's time to get some receivers with size, and please, can we get a real fucking running back? I like Denard Robinson. The kid's pretty quick and all of that stuff, but he's not a running back. So please, can we do that?
I have a theory about teams like the Jags and the Falcons and those middle-of-the-road teams. Well, the Jags used to be a surprisingly good team. And then they became a middle-of-the-road team, and now they're just terrible. But for those middle-of-the-road teams, like the Falcons and, you know what I'm saying, the Bengals, I feel like they do just enough, and the Tennessee Titans, they do just enough to keep their fans interested so they'll come and spend money. But they're never going to really pay the big bucks for the big players, you know what I'm saying, on a mass scale. because, you know, they're more interested in revenue than wins. So that's why they always swim in the deep waters of obscurity for years and years, you know, mediocrity. So I don't ever see the Falcons, the Titans, the Jaguars ever really coming out of that hole, you know. I think they're the 21st century. They're the 21st century Cleveland Browns, because the Cleveland Browns were once a decent organization, and then they fell off the map, and they've been cursed ever since. But I want to talk about this next game: the Green Bay Packers versus the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills, and Mario Williams, the man that was once a bust, has
no longer
redeemed his career. He has redeemed his career in Buffalo, along with a hectic defensive line, along with Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius out of the University of Alabama. And those boys are nasty up front, and they will get after you. And they got after the bad man that is Aaron Rodgers yesterday and made him look like a normal quarterback, right? I said they made him look like a normal quarterback, right? Also, Jordy Nelson, the great white hope, the receiver that has been putting up great numbers, looked average yesterday. That's what happens when you play a good defense. And this is why I say, if the Seattle Seahawks get the number one seed in the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks may be the first Super Bowl champions to repeat in a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Because they got a hell of a defense that's going to keep them in every game, and they have a quarterback that is clutch and will keep them, will win them every game. I'm sorry for the mess up, but I'm looking on the news right now on SportsCenter. Jabari Parker may have suffered a serious knee injury. I see them carry him off the court, the Milwaukee Bucks. Jabari Parker may be suffering a severe season-ending knee injury. That's terrible, because that was my favorite player coming out the draft. But back that was my guy. Back to football. Green Bay's in trouble. They lost that game 21-13. Now, for you Buffalo Bills, my upstate New Yorkers, please don't drink the Jim Jones Kool-Aid. You guys aren't going to win anything. I mean, you're not going to win anything. Let's be honest. I'm hating. Is that the whispers I heard coming from Syracuse and Buffalo and White Plains and Liverpool? I'm hating? No. I'm not hating, but the last time I checked, your quarterback still, his name was Kyle Orton. Exactly. Moving on. The Carolina Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another one of those games that kind of fall into the category of who wants to see them, but they had a couple of receivers, young receivers, rookie receivers, and Calvin Benjamin and Mike Evans, who are the future of this league, and both of them are going to be stars one day. It was a good game to watch. Also, a lot of people don't know this, but the Carolina Panthers can still win the NFC South. I personally think the Saints are going to win after they destroy the Falcons next week, but we shall see. The Bengals versus the Browns. Johnny Money Manziel, everyone in unison, please. Do your money sign. Do your money sign. Because if you're doing it, you might be as broke as Johnny Manziel was yesterday. Listen to these numbers. The Bengals defeated the Browns in a score of 30-0. Johnny Money Manziel was 10 for 18, 80 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Name one African-American quarterback that could have debuted with those kind of numbers and kept his job. I'll wait. It'll never happen.
That guy was 10 of 18 for 80 yards. That's damn off.
80 yards.
That's damn off.
Andy Dalton.
Him to be so quick, wasn't he sacked 3 times?
He was sacked a lot of times. I mean, I never seen so many people throw up the money sign in that guy's face. It was ridiculous. And Andy Dalton wasn't much better. 14 for 24, 117 yards. I mean, it's just deplorable. It's deplorable. The AFC North, man, I mean, I love the hard-nosed football, but if you don't have a quarterback in the AFC North, you're dead in the water. And to me, the Bengals nor the Browns have a quarterback that anybody can take serious. The J-E-T-S, Jets, my team, Broadway Joe's team, they beat the Tennessee Titans yesterday 16-11. Who really cares? Geno Smith, wowing numbers of 16-28, 179 yards and a touchdown. Awful. Well, not awful, but mediocre. Charlie Whitehurst, 10 for 23 yards, zero touchdown. Brother JB, I don't know what the hell is going on with your Tennessee Titans, but you guys in Tennessee need to boycott the Titans until they decide to spend some money on some ball players.
Yeah.
But every time they're on the TV when I'm in Atlanta and I mess around and get one of their games on CBS, it's like watching – the Catholic priest when they're in those old mafia movies and they're up there and Nominee Foster, you know, it's just boring as hell. That's what the Titans are like. They're like watching the worst episode of Matlock. They're like watching the episode of Matlock.
I think their best bet is to go get Jameis Winston, man. I think that's the best bet.
They gotta go get somebody.
They got to go get Jameis.
I mean, because it's awful. It's like watching Murder, She Wrote. Straight boring. Like Shelley Black said, they're awful. I never want to see those guys. I mean, and then they get rid of the only weapon on their offense that makes me say, man. I mean, at least it's exciting. Chris Johnson. At least he was exciting to watch.
Yeah.
He's gone. The Broncos versus the Chargers, Phillip Rivers. Man, I really like Phillip Rivers, man. I really do. But he's going to have to get the job done sooner or later. He's running out of time. They fell to the Broncos yesterday, 22-10. Peyton Manning, his numbers were, mediocre for Peyton Manning day. 14-20, 233 yards, one touchdown. Demaryius Thomas had a big game, six receptions, 123 yards, and one touchdown. Phillip Rivers was 24 for 41, 232 yards, one touchdown. You know, it's just like Phillip Rivers, he's just inconsistent. He's just very, very inconsistent for whatever reason. The Minnesota Vikings and the rise of Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was 31 for 41, 315 yards and one touchdown. Matthew Stafford, 17 for 28, 153 yards and one touchdown. But the Lions came out on top. The Lions came out on top 16-14, and they're still alive in the NFC North, I think. They're still alive in the NFC North. The 49ers versus the Seahawks. This is the game I want to talk about. These last two games are the games I want to talk about. The 49ers fell to the Seahawks 17-7 for the third straight time after they had a 7-3 lead. Colin Kaepernick ended that game 11 of 19, 141 yards, and zero touchdown.
Oh.
Russell last name Wilson was 12 for 24, 168 yards, and one touchdown. Now, Jim Harbaugh is gone. He's no longer in the 49. He's going to be gone after this year. So I see him ending up somewhere in the state of Illinois or the state of Michigan. If he's in Michigan, he's going to the University of Michigan. If he's in Illinois, he's going to the Bears. I like him with the Bears. They got a lot of pieces around them. You give a guy like Jim Harbaugh, Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Marshall, and you got a problem.
Yeah.
You got to find him a quarterback. He has connections. He has ties with the Chicago Bears. He was a quarterback under the great Mike Ditka. I think he's going to end up at Chicago or he's going to end up at the University of Michigan. Now, moving forward, I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, to me, the man who single-handedly cost Jim Harbaugh his job. What do you think about, what are your impressions of Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback?
I mean, he's
he's prototypical, you know what I'm saying, of a first year amazement. I think a lot of people got too caught up in that guy's hype. He was extremely high the first year he came out, you know what I'm saying, played. Of course, he got them to a Super Bowl. But, I mean, after guys see you after that one-year thing, that's what's so different about the NFL. Guys need 1 year of tape on you at first. That next year you're not pulling the same ponytail, which means you have to evolve your game. You got to be able to throw deep passes. You got to be accurate. You got to be able to move in the pocket. You got to be able to get out of the pocket. I mean, if you're going to be the type of quarterback he is. And it seems like his game is still stuck in year one, and he's in year three. So, I mean, it's pretty much more hype-based. Like I said, I never really thought too much of Colin Kaepernick ever. You know what I'm saying? I thought he was a pretty decent quarterback, but nothing to just – ooh and I about, you know what I'm saying? I saw his career in Nevada when he stopped Boise State, you know what I'm saying, from going undefeated that year. You know what I'm saying? He had some good basic athletic moves, but nothing I can say he's going to grow into a great prototypical quarterback, which he's not. So I'm just not impressed with the guy.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick, man, I think he's one of those guys with all the physical tools that is just mentally weak. He's just mentally weak. And you see it throughout the course of the game. He starts the game hyped up. He makes a few plays. And when things start going bad, it looks like he struggles to read defensive coverages. Looks like he struggles to pick up the blitz. It looks like he struggles seeing his hot receiver. I mean, so – when I look at the guy, I see a guy that's what they call a head case. He's a head case. When things go wrong, I mean, he falls apart. Now, if you look on the opposite end of the field, on the other side of the field, you got a guy that came out around the same time, is similar in styles, that is cool under pressure, is a smooth operator, Russell last name Wilson. I feel like Russell last name Wilson is everything that Jim Harbaugh wanted to make happen. A low-risk guy, high IQ guy, with the speed to extend plays outside of the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield, makes the smart play, never really loses you the game. That's who Russell Wilson is. Colin Kaepernick does not have that. And that is the reason why Pete Carroll has risen to the top of the NFC West and conquered his greatest foe, which was Jim Harbaugh. So shout out to the Seattle Seahawks. I really feel like they're on their way to, you know what I'm saying, a playoff victory. I mean, not a playoff victory, another Super Bowl victory. Cowboys versus the Eagles. How about them Cowboys? Dez Bryant. I'm not even going to read Romo's stat. Dez Bryant. 6 receptions, 114 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, the boy got busy, and for the first time in a long time, the Cowboys are a serious threat heading into the playoffs. The Cowboys. And when the Cowboys get hot with all of the lore and mystique that is behind that emblem, they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I said it because they got a guy in the middle of their defense. And if you're not hip to it, look it up, out of the University of Alabama, that gives them that dog on their defense that they never had when DeMarcus Ware was there. Rolando McClain was a dog from the first snap last night to the last snap last night. So that gives you a dog on defense, anchoring your defense, Rolando McClain. That gives you a dog in a wide receiver, Dez Bryant. And that gives you a dog in the backfield, DeMarco Murray. You know he's a dog because the story just came out last week that he was smashing his roommate's wife in college behind his back, sending text messages like, yo, you mind if I smash you out in y'all bed while he's gone? You got to be a dog to do that. So you know what I'm saying? The Cowboys came out on top, 38-27. Shout out to them Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Yeah. Wrapping it up. It's been a wonderful night, full of a lot of wonderful topics. Is there anything you want to leave the people with, wrapping up our conversation on elite college athletes?
I want to say this. You watch these guys every Saturday. The fall comes, you get used to seeing them on television. You get used to going and rooting for your alma mater. They trade these guys in and out every year. But I want you to think about the team that you're rooting for when they're winning and they're up, and you're like, yeah, that's my team. That's the college I went to. That's my alma mater. I want you to think about what happens to these guys when they leave your school. I want you to see if the mental anguish and the physicality of where they played at has worn on their bodies. See if they're financially able to take care of their family still. See if they've been in a situation where, because they couldn't eat the way they needed to eat, they're in a situation where they're kicked out of your alma mater for stealing something or taking something, or because they were hungry and they couldn't eat, but they better be on practice on time. I really want you guys to really think about that. And if you really think about that and you really feel some kind of way about that, then maybe you should start a petition for these athletes to start getting paid. Maybe if it came from the fans, these guys would take notice. Maybe if the ratings started to plummet because they're not going to watch this team unless you start paying these guys, just maybe something else will be done about it. I want you guys to think about that. Think about that hard, man, to think about that these people aren't just toys or action figure or video games. They're actually real men that when they get off the field, their lives are going to be different from what it was before. So I just want you guys to think about that, and that's all I want to leave you with.
I mean, the brother said everything that needed to be said, man. That's big time, man. That's big time. That's huge. I mean, these people are humans. They aren't characters on Madden. And they put their bodies on the line. They put their lives on the line long term. If you look at cases like Junior Seau and others, the post-traumatic stress from playing football all those years and the head trauma with concussions. So, I mean, something definitely needs to be done about universities that are making $76.1 million a year and an athlete not getting anything. Quick show rundown. Tomorrow night it'll be the return of the Black Caucus with Brother Jared, a.k.a. Morpheus, and Brother Javoy the Poet at 10 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, we have Same Sisters, Different Races with Miss Mary Mack and Sister Telly Black. It'll be 10 p.m. Eastern, also on Wednesday night. Thursday night, Revolution Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in. Friday night, the return of G14 Classified with the Brother JB. The topic will be 9/11. You're not going to want to miss this. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a very impactful. It's going to be a very impactful topic, and you're going to want to listen and tune in with a pad and pencil and paper. However, you got to do it. Saturday night, it's the originals. #TheOriginals. And you're going to love this one, because Saturday night on the originals, every song we play is going to be from the classic album, Get Rich or Die Trying. And we're going to talk about each track on the album and the impact that it had and the impact the entire style had on hip-hop and how it changed the game. So look forward to #TheOriginals Saturday night. It's going to be a Get Rich or Die Trying Saturday night. Sunday night, we're back at you with JB's R&B Cafe, one of our highly rated shows, one of our most listened to shows. You guys are going to love it. Make sure you tune in, and please, please drop out. Tune in and drop out. Monday night, we're right back at you with Smash Mouth Sports. We thank everybody for listening. We hope you were entertained. Like you said, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? This is Smash Mouth Sports, baby. We're leaving you with Lloyd Banks and Loaded Lux. Probably Hold Me Down and Loaded Lux action on site on Smash Mouth Sports. We Evolution Radio. Tune in.
V5. 2010. Take it over. Damn.
Bad. You probably won't be bad. You probably won't be bad. You probably won't be bad. shot up, shine while I lay there. I went down, got up, now what? You gon' do better, no more foul up. Nah, I don't work so hard, my mama's now stuck. 200,000 truck, 200,000 car, 200,000 net. You got a house yet? Check my outfit, it wouldn't fit you right. I'm no new nigga, sit with this shit too tight. 80s baby, buy my paper, fuck you baby. Break your ego, fuck your lady, that's why they been cuffing ladies. Some are real, some are shady, bet I see them through a tent. With my looks on, laughing loud at all the money spent.
Be friends, be friends, be my hands.
The work in. Funny how all the complaining comes when they hurting. The swag choking, they hanging off my board till I kick them. I owe no one but the Lord. Yo, baby, does that mean me the umbilical cord? Oh, when I eat, you eat, nah, they get ignored. Full bank accounts, but I rob for it's empty. These haters gonna tempt me to find me and never get me. Probably never met me. How could you hate a stranger? Envious of what they doing on that came in nature. Ain't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? So what you take a hustle? Keep all your bitching quiet.
Bye. light.